Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, the place you go and I go for free speech. Today, our show is with Mark Dankoff. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be on, and I've had a busy week.
You've had a busy week, and talk about busy, RBN is busy every day bringing you news and information, and you need to support RBN by going to republicbroadcasting.org, clicking on the donate button, and sending shekels. You need to go to nationalbugle.com. Not only can you download the Kosher-tified app, which will give you the information you need to lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle, but you will also see all sorts of articles that Mark Dankoff is about to make reference to as we do our big board review. So, Mark, what is on the big board right now? Oh, and what have you, before you get there, what have you been busy with this week? Not just the big board, I'm sure.
Well, I've been very, very busy this week with all kinds of things. I was talking to the Tehran Times about JCPOA. I was talking with Press Television about this whole issue of the elections in the United States. And I actually made a prediction as to who was going to win. And we can talk about that just a little bit if you want to. And talking about the Zionist influence there and most of the major political parties. But I did make a prediction on the air, publicly, internationally, as to who would win the election. So we'll see if I'm right the first Tuesday in November. And then that leads...
Will we see if you're right on the first Tuesday of November?
What's that?
Will we see if you're right on the first Tuesday of November?
That's right. And if I'm wrong, don't remind me publicly that I ever said that. But nonetheless, we're going to test my prophetic skills, folks. And I went out on a limb with Press Television Iran in regard to who's going to win and by roughly what kind of a margin.
Okay, well, so then, do we start with that or do we just have to wait for a while?
Well, we can start with that if you so desire. I'm getting ready to tell all of our RBN listeners here that many of the big board stories we'll be referencing will be up in the next 24 hours. I am presently with dilated eyes from a very fine eye exam that came out very fine for me. But nonetheless, I can't read the big board. I'm not near the big board. Therefore, I have researched all kinds of stories that I attempted to look at before my eyes were dilated. And I think we're good to go, basically talking about the GOP convention, who may in fact win this thing in November, what the issues are going to be, and how this whole domestic scene with violence in the United States plays into what I think is a shift in public opinion that's going to continue shifting in a particular direction on these issues of domestic insurrections and shootings and lawlessness and arson and all the rest of it. So we also have a couple of foreign stories we can make reference to, but we're basically good to go.
Okay, so who's going to win the election?
Well, I said two things to Press Television Iran after I explained the fact that the biggest downside of this election for me is what we've been talking about in this network for a long time, and that is the Zionist neocon foreign policy that seems to be in vogue in both of the major political parties, obviously with Trump and Pence on the one hand, or on the other hand, dealing with a Biden-Harris ticket that, as I put it to Press Television, is a dream ticket for the American Israel Public Affairs Committee. But aside from that, I did predict a winner based upon two things. First of all, for the first time, to my knowledge, in American history, since television, we have a circumstance where a major party, in this case the Democratic Party, right after its own national convention, did not pick up the usual 10 or 12 positive points in the polls. They lost 4 points in the polls after their own convention. That's danger sign one. Mm. Danger sign two is the Norpoth bottle, which I made reference to, the Herbert Norpoth bottle to Press Television, where Dr. Norpoth has a habit of picking correctly a string of winners in these American presidential elections that is simply phenomenal. And Dr. Norpoth has said that the final outcome of the Electoral College will be Donald Trump, 362 electoral votes, and for Joseph Biden, 176 electoral votes. In other words, the Electoral College, a Trump landslide, and I think for reasons that have been further development, the further developed in the wake of this tragedy in Kenosha, Wisconsin, that we're looking at a shift in direction politically, folks, on this law and order issue that is likely to be seismic. Pat Buchanan made reference to this today at Lou Rockwell, talking about the fact that Biden appears to be ceding the law enforcement, law and order issue to Donald Trump. And I think Pat Buchanan has basically said that Biden is caught between a rock and a hard place. Joe Biden might say one set of things on law and order to Scranton Democrats, the type of Democrats that Joe Biden knew well several generations ago, that he was very comfortable with. Biden is stuck between those folks, however many of them still exist, in these AOC people on the far left of the Democratic Party, who are with Black Lives Matter, Antifa, the militant LGBTQ network, and all of the rest of it that is inextricably linked and that is being financed by the George Soros people, by the way. With all of that in mind, Biden is going to discover that as he continues to try and walk that fine line between those two factions of the Democratic Party, he's not going to be able to do it. So, either it goes in one direction or the other, and it's going to cost him politically when he does.
So you sold that to Iran about Biden being between a rock and a hard place. And, of course, Iran is between Iraq and Afghanistan.
Well, that's right. And in this particular case, what is especially noteworthy here is that the United States is not yet out of Afghanistan. The United States is not out of Iraq. The United States continues to engage in monkey business in Syria. Ron Paul has called out Donald Trump on that issue and has said to the President of the United States that he, Donald Trump, need not continue the Barack Obama interventionist policy in Syria. So on all of those scores, the President's record in this area needs major improvement. But the upshot of that is for the Republicans that Joe Biden's record in foreign policy is absolutely no better, both on his own terms as well as those of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. So looked at from that perspective, it may well be that it will be the domestic side of things that decides this election, and that's the basis upon which I think Trump will win on the law and order issue, on the Second Amendment issue, and on the fact, as was described today in the UK Telegraph, that there is a real backlash occurring in Europe on this whole issue of COVID-19 lockdowns. That seems to be happening in the United States as well. That issue, if that further develops between now and the first Tuesday in November, will in fact favor Donald Trump and the GOP.
Okay, well that's, and I agree with all of this. Now the one thing that, of course, my listeners...
That's good.
No, what my listeners will be aware of is that I'm saying we might not know on the first Tuesday after the first Monday of November, because the the Democrats are already warning us that there will be too many absentee ballots cast, mail-in ballots cast to be counted that night. So we're going to have to wait for days or weeks or months until every vote, every precious vote, is counted. And of course,
especially the tombstones and all the illegals, those definitely have to be counted.
Absolutely, and
Lyndon Johnson will arise from the dead, and Hillary Clinton, whom we wish were dead, will nonetheless be alive to talk and, about all these people whose votes need to be counted, who have absolutely never heard of the United States of America prior to 5 minutes ago.
That yeah, and correct. She's gone on the record saying that Biden must not concede under any circumstances. Al Gore saying pretty much the same thing. So their people, the Democratic bigwigs, are getting everyone ready for a contested election where the results are contested. And, there's going to be all sorts of court cases. And unfortunately, if you look at the 2018 midterm elections and you had about 20 House of Representatives seats, I think it was 20, and that were not announced on the night of the election, and they ultimately went to recounts and court cases and whatnot, and I believe the Democrats got every single one of those seats. Maybe I'm mistaken in one case, but I think they got every single one. But in terms of how the Electoral College should be. You know, like the votes by voters on a state by state basis, I would think would give Donald Trump an Electoral College victory. But you know, they're going to at every stage, there's going to be all sorts of shenanigans. That's what I've been warning about. But you know, you remember.
I think your warning is well taken. And Wayne Dupree, by the way, has a post that made its way to Russia Today RT on this very date. And Wayne is warning what I've been concerned about for a long time, and that is that regardless of who wins the election, that between the scenario you're talking about, Dr. Slattery, which you can see Biden and Clinton and Obama and company building toward, Dupree believes that there's going to be a civil war in the United States after the election. And I don't think he's talking about words only. No, we need to underscore the fact he doesn't want to see this, okay? Mm-hmm. He's not rooting for this, but nonetheless, he's observing in terms of the phenomenological side of things that this appears to be a very probable end game of all of this. And in that regard, we're dealing with something far, far greater potentially than the unrest that I remember in 1968, certainly,
yeah.
In the wake of the MLK and RFK assassinations, in the Tet Offensive, in the Democratic National Committee, or Democratic National Convention catastrophe in mm-hmm. Chicago, mm-hmm. and the Dick Daley backlash on that, and then, of course, the election of Richard Nixon.
And so, Richard Nixon,
all of that,
beating Humphrey, beating Humphrey by, I believe it was 110 electoral votes.
Yes.
It was, you know, even though it was Humphrey came from behind and almost squeaked it out because he looked like he was going to, for a while there, he looked like he was going to really be roundly defeated. He belatedly came out against the Vietnam War, I think in October, which got him a little bit of momentum, but it was too little too late. And then, of course, another law and order campaign when Richard Nixon did his Rose Garden campaign for re-election in 72, won 49 states.
Well, exactly, and I think what Buchanan was talking about today, about Joe Biden's dilemma on the Second Amendment and Joe Biden's dilemma on the law and order issue in American cities, where Biden was caught, as Pat put it, between the Scranton Democrats on the one hand and the AOC squad far-left, Marxist-left of the Democratic Party on the other. That's basically the same sort of division that we were seeing in 1968 in the Democratic Party. Maybe not as clear then, but it became clearer with the McGovern situation in 72 that there was a major beginning of a shift to the far left in the Democratic Party that resulted some 48 years later in what we're seeing now, almost half a century later, in what we are observing in this instance. Is the remaining remnant of an older Democratic constituency where you didn't have to be pro-queer marriage, you did not have to be pro-choice in the abortion question, you might be a gun owner, you might be a white working-class American in the Democratic Party, that wing of it, who might also happen to be, say, an ethnic Roman Catholic. That is a very, very different Democratic constituency historically from what we must tell our RBN listeners, and I'm sure that 99% of them already know it, is an absolute Marxist wing of the Democratic Party that is absolutely red. It is red on the social issues. It's red on the Second Amendment. It is red on this issue of Black Lives Matter and Antifa. It is red in regard to the police departments around the country, and what it takes to keep American cities under some semblance of civil rule.
And I don't know if it's...
for Biden, and it's a different version of what Humphrey faced, I think, in 68.
Yeah, and in terms of foreign policy, I mean, I don't know what if you'd call it red or what, but it is, you know, the Democratic Party is the neocon party now. Here's a question.
That's another fault line for Biden. You have basically an absolutely Zionist ticket with Biden and Harris. Harris tells the Times of Israel a day or two ago when she is basically making her appeal to Israel and to the Israeli lobby that the United States will never make one dime of its aid for Israel contingent upon any of Israel's policies. Folks, that sounds like the far right of the Likudnik wing of the Adelson wing of the Republican Party, doesn't it? And at the same time, she says that Biden will reintroduce JCPOA. Well, I've got news for Harris. The same people she is trying to appease in order to be absolutely pro-Zionist are the very people who have played a disproportionate role in undermining JCPOA, and which has the support of Pat Buchanan. It has the probable support of Ron Paul, I believe. Certainly has the support of David Stockman, as I said, to Press Television. But then again, getting back to this whole issue of Zionism and interventionism on the behalf of the Israeli state, this is where the Trump-Pence ticket and the Biden-Harris ticket begin to blur in terms of differences. And that's what I am most concerned about, most upset about, where this election is concerned. But on the domestic issues, folks, when it comes to the Second Amendment, which is dear to the hearts of all of our listeners, certainly, you start talking about the Second Amendment, and you start talking about this whole business of what's going on when even in Texas, grade school teachers are promoting Black Lives Matter and the LGBTQ movement and Antifa in virtual instruction of first and second grade kids.
Which actually has been going on for a while.
Republicans can make hay in all of this.
Yeah, it's been going on for a while. I went to a junior high school commencement. When was that? Like 4 years ago or something? 4 or 5 years ago? And they had a Black Lives Matter speaker 4 or 5 years ago. So, anyway, there's one comment I wanted to make and then a question. So the comment was, we know Kamala Harris, she doesn't have any children. She doesn't have any American relatives besides perhaps her little sister, who I guess was born in America. But she doesn't really have American connections. She is married to a Jew. And then Biden, he's not married to a Jew, but all three of his children were married to Jews. I guess he only has two surviving children at this point. But they're both married to Jews, and his late Beau Biden was married to a Jew. So, and then, you know, the thing is, if you get into the elite, you're going to be... you're going to be around a lot of Jews. And so I know Donald Trump, his, obviously Ivanka married a Jew. When you get into the elite, the elites, there's a lot of Jews in the elite, so that's going to happen. But at any rate, the question I had for you was, with these Black Lives Matter riots, they're corporate-sponsored riots, tolerated completely by the deep state, regardless of whether Donald Trump likes them or not. And then you've got the coronavirus lockdowns, which you brought up. Have they just gone too far on this? Because now the Democrats, not only are they the party of the riots, they're the party of the lockdowns. Have they just gone too... Can they even dial it back if they wanted to? Because you hear Don Lemon say they want to.
Exactly, and I think that Pat Buchanan today and Lou Rockwell was driving at precisely that point. They have taken it to a point where they're beginning to recognize the four-point drop in the polls after their own convention. That's an absolute danger sign, folks. Unheard of in American television history in terms of televised political conventions of two major parties. Never happened before. It happened this time. Look out, Biden. Look out, Harris. You're about to follow Magic Mike Dukakis into the toy. And to me, what was telltale about Kenosha, aside from the way in which that scenario took place, the misreporting in mainstream media, the fact that some of the truth is starting to come out with Mike Whitney in the UNS Review, then aside from all of that, look at the governor of Wisconsin, Tony Evers.
Yep. Hey, we'll have to do that. Have to do that on the other side. Is that okay?
Good.
All right.
Good.
We'll be right back.
Make the world go away.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Say the things you used to say.
Back on the other side, we're about to talk about the magic governor of Wisconsin. I do want to mention, you brought up very briefly, did you call him Magic Mike Dukakis? By the way, yes. I met him once.
He can make an 18-point lead instantly disappear. That's why I've always called him Magic Mike.
I remember watching that in real time, and it was kind of amazing. He went on vacation during the Republican National Convention and didn't respond to a bunch of, well, rumors that he had suffered from depression or whatever, just didn't respond. He went on vacation, not to be advised, but I met him once, and he seemed like a very nice guy and seemed exactly his private persona. Maybe it wasn't really, maybe he was still putting on an act, but he seemed very much the same as he did on TV.
Yes.
Which is, you know, intellectual and maybe a little bit disconnected. But
that's my reading of him, and I think he is, in fact, a nice guy who is nonetheless disconnected. And to me, when you look at the issues in 1988 that Lee Atwater used to absolutely rub the Susan Estrich campaign...
Susan Estrich.
Just to rub those people out and to produce a victory for a vulnerable George Herbert Walker Bush, who nonetheless was carried to victory on certain issues. And the biggest issue then was what? Law and order. Remember the Willie Horton?
Willie
ads?
Horton, that's right. The furloughs.
Yeah, and Dukakis, hey, pardons this guy, who proceeds to go out and to engage in more felonious acts.
Right,
of violence.
He gave him
this sort of thing.
It wasn't a pardon. It was weekend furloughs. You had somebody who was...
Weekend furloughs for a guy who, didn't he commit both rape and murder in one of those furloughs?
Yeah, and he was... I don't know if he was in prison for rape or murder, but he got a weekend furlough and went out and committed a rape or murder.
Yeah, exactly. And Atwater proceeded to use this kind of thing absolutely effectively. I knew Lee Atwater well in those days. I was the 36th legislative district chairman of the Republican Party in King County, Seattle, ironically enough, and was well acquainted with some of the things that Atwater was telling some of us on the inside about how Michael Dukakis would be unraveled. Now, this particular situation, that was 32 years ago. In today's climate, ironically enough, on this very issue of law and order, law enforcement, Second Amendment, and a revolving door legal system that continues to turn people out of the street who should never be let out, guess what? All of the statistics that can be used, all of the visceral appeals that can be used in 30-second sound bites favor Donald Trump on that issue, and I think that the themes of this convention largely accentuates that that's exactly what they're going to do, whether you agree with it or not. And to me, the most telling evidence yet, aside from the 4-point drop of the Democrat polls after their own convention on television, absolutely unheard of, reported by Russia Today, but not by CNN, suggestively enough. Look at the reactions of Governor Tony Evers in Wisconsin in the immediate aftermath of this Kenosha tragedy. What does he do? He says all of the facts surrounding this shooting are not yet known, and then he proceeds to rush to judgment in regard to what happened. Some of the stuff that's beginning to emerge on this is starting to, and I was telling the governor by Twitter, I'm sure he wasn't looking at it personally, but you better be careful, Governor. I'm seeing all kinds of things that suggest that this is something that you need to take a look at before you automatically assume that the Soros-led news media has the correct slant on what happened. And then, of course, the second thing is, once this street violence and arson and looting began, what did Evers do? He did what the governor of Washington State and the mayor of Seattle have not done. He did what the governor of Oregon and the mayor of Portland have not done. He did what the governor of Minnesota and the mayor of Minneapolis did not do. He asked for federal help. And Donald Trump says, great, you've asked for our help, we're going to give it to you. That's a suggestion there that even Tony Evers is looking at this and is saying, you know, this isn't looking very well for us with all of this burning and looting going on. Whatever did it happen in that shooting, I'm looking at the general situation in Minneapolis, Portland, and in Seattle. I'd better not make the same mistakes that my colleagues have made. I've got to get the feds in here right now.
Well, that's it.
He didn't say that, but that's my interpretation of what he was thinking when he brought the feds in. And we have to take our hats off to him. At least we'll give the Governor Evers a break here. Let's assume he is concerned about people's safety. I don't know that he isn't, so we'll give him that benefit of the doubt. But certainly politically, he also understands that the Democrats are starting to look like the real losers in this whole issue of the way all these Democrat governors and mayors have handled this lawlessness up to this point.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to go off to the break. When we come back, I want to talk about Rudy Giuliani's speech just a little bit, and maybe walk down the memory lane with Michael Dukakis just one more time. We'll be right back.
Any time you're feeling lonely, any time you're feeling blue, any time you feel.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, gang.
Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
At all will do. Anytime. You want me back again? That's the time I'll come back home to you.
And we are back. I guess we'll do Dukakis first and Giuliani. Do you remember, because Dukakis got way behind in the polls after that summer that you were talking about with Lee Atwater, and the last debate, maybe a week before the election, that last debate he had... And Bernard Shaw, the black reporter from CNN, he tossed Dukakis what I thought was a big, giant softball so that Dukakis could hit it out of the park. He said... You know, in reference, it was in reference connection to the Willie Horton thing. He said, "If somebody raped and murdered your wife Kitty, would you support the death penalty for him?" And you know, a lot of people it was like, what a question. And Dukakis, I was just expecting. I thought maybe this had even been something that had been fed to him. I was just expecting him to say, if anybody did that to Kitty, the last thing they'd have to worry about is the death penalty, right? They'd have to worry about me because I'd rip them apart, right? He just made a completely policy wonkish answer, an argument against the death penalty. Completely ignored
exactly.
And I was sitting there with my mother. We were watching it, and we were both rooting for Dukakis. And it was like, well, it's going to be 4 more years of George, you know, it's going to be George Bush for 4 years. That was it. Stick a fork and it's done.
Exactly. And it was another...
You remember that moment.
Ronald Reagan's Are You Better Off Than You Were 4 years Ago when he was talking to Jimmy Carter. And yeah. In terms of Dukakis's answer to this question about capital punishment for someone who would have, God forbid, would have raped and murdered Kitty Dukakis, it wasn't just the fact that most Americans, folks, don't believe the polls at all. Most Americans, if it gets down to that level, viscerally, would support capital punishment, even if they don't admit it.
Right.
Now, the other thing is that Dukakis had, as you put it, he had this policy wonkish, rather cold, calculated answer to the question that I'm not accusing him of lying about his feelings, but the point is he didn't seem to have feelings. There was
right.
no sense of anguish, no sense of emotion, no sense that he had welled up with tears in his eyes and had said, even in that case, regardless of what I would feel, what I in my flesh I'd want to do to this person, I would still have to hold on to my principles, even with my own wife, and to say, we should not go there.
Yeah.
As tough as that would be to do. Yeah. If he had answered the question that way, it wouldn't have been fatal, but the way he answered
it. Yeah, the way he answered it.
And it wiped him out.
And he, after, and of course then when George Bush got his rebuttal, George Bush, he just said, hey, wait a minute, Bernie, that's kind of rough, you know, he had... a little bit of an emotional response to it, even though you know it didn't involve his own wife, and I've heard Dukakis say at that moment, like he knew that he had lost the debate and lost the election, and you know when he walked backstage, he just apologized to his whole staff. But so I just wanted to walk down memory lane with that. Of course, we may or may not have Joe Biden debates, and there may if there are Joe Biden debates, there may be a moment like that. But just. I want to bring up this from Giuliani and get your response to it. So I was listening to Giuliani's speech, which started off good, law and order, just exactly the theme that you're talking about. But then he said something about George Floyd, and he said, you know, when George Floyd was murdered by those cops, everybody rallied around. The whole country united. But then the process got hijacked. And I think that's a really bad narrative, because... by now, 3 months later, all the evidence is out there that George Floyd wasn't murdered, that the police were completely following protocol, and this is what people always complain about Republicans, is that they just concede all of these points.
Exactly, and that you're exactly right. Let me say this: I was accused by a liberal ELCA Lutheran. Now, keep in mind, folks, this is the biggest but farthest left Lutheran Synod in the country. They're pro-queer marriage, pro-abortion, anti-Second Amendment. The list just goes on and on. But I was actually accused of being hate-filled, someone who was not worthy of being a Lutheran pastor, when I pointed out to the bishop of the ELCA, the lady bishop of the ELCA, and to her followers on Twitter, that I said, hey, take another look at your narrative. This is the truth in the Floyd matter. I posted what the Utz reviews, our latest information is on this. I posted what Paul Craig Roberts had said about the medical evidence from the forensic pathologist who examined the situation. There was also yet something else from a third source, a reputable source, that talked about Minneapolis, St. Paul manuals and directives for police officers, mm-hmm. which showed that at the time these officers were acting, particularly the one in question, that this knee hold was not prohibited.
Not only was it not prohibited, because I looked at, and I have this posted, we have this posted at National Bugle, you might have to click on the, I think it's the demographics, and you might have to go beyond the big board, you might have to actually click
yes.
that section. But I've got the evidence presented by one of the police officers. It's not presented, I don't think it's Chauvin's defense team. I think it is the other white, because there's one white guy, one other white guy, an Oriental guy, and a black guy, who are the four cops. But at any rate, you look at the manual, and on page 13 of the manual, it says when the knee hold is allowed. But then, like, you go down, and it is allowed when they're actively resisting arrest, which he obviously was. But you go down to, I think it's page 32, and it talks about the how to deal with somebody in a state of, I think it's called excited delirium. Is that what the term was? And this,
yes, and that term has been used in the Utz Review and Lou Rockwell's materials in regard to the fentanyl levels in George Floyd's body at the time of this mishap.
And if you watch the video, the body cam video, that second white police officer who was the one who was responding most directly to Floyd, when he was talking to headquarters, he used that term excited delirium. And then, of course, he was asking Floyd's companions, what's he on, and this type of thing. And the manual says that in a state of excited delirium, which can be brought on by, among other things, drug use, that there is a an elevated risk of heart failure. And what you're supposed to do is put somebody in the recovery position. The recovery position is to have the person on his stomach with the head turned to the side. And in the picture that you put in the manual,
there you go.
It had three officers holding down the person, the suspect, with one officer having his knee in the on the neck to restrain them. Why? Because this recovery position is supposed to avert heart failure. Now,
which the guy had already gone into.
He had already gone into.
Dr. Slattery, I've also got something up on our big board currently that I put on Twitter, which has all three of these links from these stories and Unz and Lou Rockwell on this. But the bottom line, getting back to Giuliani, is that in singing, the mainstream media lie. It's an out-and-out lie as to what happened to George Floyd. This is an example of a Republican Party that continues to take the defensive when it should be on absolute offense here, and saying that the mainstream media has totally twisted this narrative. They're not only in support of these radical, violent, racist, Marxist demonstrators linked up to George Soros, but the fact of the matter is they're wrong in what happened in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And here's the evidence that, in fact, George Floyd had a fentanyl level in his body three times that necessary to kill you. There were other drugs in his system at the time. He was in a case of heart attack, heart failure, because of excited delirium. And that, with reference to your materials here on air about the Minneapolis police training manual, turn to page 13, folks, and see that the officer and officers in question did absolutely everything according to the book. And whether or not the general public wants to believe it or not, let's read. I said to this ELCA Pinko on Twitter yesterday, read, lady, read. Francis Bacon, don't read to believe and take for granted, nor to contradict and confute, but to weigh and consider. Read, lady. Don't say that I'm guilty of hate speech. Read.
Right.
Read these articles, and then you tell me on the basis of what's there whether or not your lib bishop, your lady bishop, is correct in the way that she's spinning this tale to people in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, which, by the way, folks, is not evangelical at all. It is a hotbed of liberal apostasy. But nonetheless, read, folks. Weigh and consider.
Because
what does the evidence show?
Because this evidence, the mainstream media had this evidence 3 months ago. They withheld it. It's been repressed from the public, so it took us a while to be able to give this level of explanation. But
exactly.
Mainstream media had it all along, and therefore they were lying. And why should Giuliani latch on? He's a smart guy. He's a lawyer. Why should he latch on to their lying narrative? Not call them out for lying, but to go along with it. So I don't know. But
Giuliani has something else I'll just mention in passing, because it's not directly germane to this conversation. But Giuliani and John Bolton are among these pro-Zionists in the Republican Party, with overt links to the Islamic terrorist Mujahideen-e-Khalq, M-E-K-M-K-O organization, that has been guilty of massive crimes, not only against the Iranian people, but back in Pahlavi, Iran, was assassinating American Air Force officers and American defense contractors. So that's another line of Giuliani.
Yep.
We don't have time to get into that now.
Okay.
But just in terms of the George Floyd case, when the evidence supports you, take it directly to the American people. Giuliani had that chance. to speak directly to the American people, looking them right in the eye on camera, and to say, you know something? It's not just the looting and the rioting and the burning after the fact that is so wrong, but the mainstream media has lied to you about what really happened in Minneapolis and what has really happened in so many of these other cases. George Floyd, folks, was a 6- or 7-time convicted violent felon and porno film star who died that day because he had a fentanyl overdose 3 times that necessary to kill you in his body. And look at Article 1, Article 2, Article 3, that I hope we put up on the screen while I'm talking. See what's in these articles, including that by Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. And you tell me what is going on with the mainstream media that suppressed this information from the American people and that has basically been on the side of Soros-financed Marxist radicals in the streets. That's what he should have done.
That's what he should have done. Okay, so we've got some time left in the show. Where are we going next?
Well, as I've already mentioned, to my appearances with the Tehran Times and the Press Television here in the last 7 days or so, just in terms of some of my own stuff, as long as I'm engaged in what Eric Kajewski of Trad Cat Night talks about, this shameless self-promotion. I'm shamelessly self-promoting my appearance with him yesterday, which will be up on our own big board here in the next 24 hours or so. Also, of course, UK Generations with Adrian Krieg and ACH this past Monday was a terrific story in a terrific show, because Adrian Krieg did an absolutely fantastic job of taking an 8- or 9-page file that he had put together on Kamala Harris, folks. It's a one-stop operation in terms of going directly to what Adrian Krieg had to say on that show about Kamala Harris, to really understanding the level of greasy politician that we are really speaking of here in regard to this. The Revolver has picked up on some of this. Mainstream media, even in some places, has picked up on some of this. But places like the Oath Review, The Revolver, and LouRockwell.com cover her long history, her long political history, her long legal history. And last but not least, of course, the most obvious thing, and that was her longtime affair with Willie Brown, who was in his 60s when she was in her 20s. And Willie Brown, of course, was a power broker in San Francisco, Oakland politics, and
in all of California.
National connections. Mm-hmm. And that was really the beginning of Kamala Harris's political career.
Yeah, yeah. He was the highest ranking Democrat in California state politics for a while, because...
Yes.
It might surprise people, but California in the 1980s, it went for 16 years with Republican governors.
And let me say, as long as we've been underscoring this theme, that I didn't have to be much of a prophet. My wife would corroborate this. My Colombian wife would corroborate the fact that I basically predicted that Kamala Harris would be on the Democratic Party ticket, either as 1 or 2, quite some time ago.
You did. And I did not.
That prediction?
I disagreed, and I was wrong.
Went to the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee and did not speak publicly. She stayed away from that level of controversy at that point. But then later you saw all these pictures that Benjamin Netanyahu had put on his Twitter page of he and poses with Kamala. And I said to my wife, there's one member of the Democratic presidential ticket in a year or two from now. And voila, here we are. You go from Willie Brown to the real power, which is Bibi Netanyahu and the Israeli lobby and AIPAC.
Hey, so hopefully we're not going to ever find this out, but if Biden is installed, if he isn't inaugurated next year, there is Biden, he's going to be run by somebody. And let's just say he's not run by Kamala Harris, but he's run by other people around him. At what point does Kamala Harris, as vice president, march out the 25th Amendment? Because the 25th Amendment allows the vice president to, if they have the support of half of the cabinet, they can depose the president. They send it to Congress, and then the Congress has a vote.
And I think that that's exactly what's afoot. And I say this on the basis of independent medical analysis, folks, that's available out there if you know where to research it, that underscores the fact that without hitting Biden below the belt, there is something wrong with this guy's cognition. When you look at Joe Biden, and Pat Buchanan even has pointed this out, this is not the Biden of even 10 years ago in regard to his ability to speak and think It's clear that they're hiding this guy to try and keep him from making too many public gaffes, too many public mistakes. But you can only keep him in the basement so long. And I think the entire strategy of the Democratic Party is to hope that they can carry the day and win the election on the basis of keeping Joe relatively closeted and trying to use the issues of the left to win this election at the same time that those issues are turning against them, both in terms of lockdown with COVID-19 as well as the crime and law and order and Second Amendment issues. So at the end of the day, if they still win in spite of all of that, Biden, I'm going to predict, will not last 1 year as president before he is replaced for medical reasons, and that the 25th Amendment will be invoked to get rid of him.
Yeah, yeah, very likely. The timing, we got to go on the break, but the timing, if he goes past the second anniversary of his inauguration, and then Kamala Harris becomes president after that, she could be elected two more times. If it's before the second anniversary, she could only be reelected one time. Okay, we'll be right back.
Well, in 1814, I took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mountain.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the energy planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an energy planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Well, they ran through the bars and they ran through the brambles. They ran through the places that a rabbit couldn't go. They ran so fast that a hound couldn't catch them. Down the Mississippi to the Gulf of Mexico.
And we are back. There's a lot going on, but a lot is already being discussed. But there's some things that fall through the cracks, and there's stuff in Germany that might be falling through the cracks. What should we know about it?
I think there are two things that, in closing the show out, we can take a look at that involve German politics, maybe three things that really underscore the fire that the Democratic Party is playing with on certain issues. Angela Merkel actually said today, folks, I believe it was on RT, maybe the Times of Israel, that she still felt comfortable with the latest 1 million refugees, immigrants, to hit Germany, largely, of course, folks, from non-European countries, obviously. Now, this is beginning to backfire on the establishment in Germany, hence the rise of the so-called Alternative for Deutschland party. Keep an eye on that. But secondarily, when it comes to lockdown issues, has anyone seen what I have seen on Twitter and in international media, the incredible demonstrations against COVID-19 lockdown in Berlin?
No, I have not seen that.
We're talking about here, folks. And when you look at those incredible thousands and thousands and thousands of people in the street that say, we've had enough of this stuff, I think that that should be a warning to the Dr. Fauci's and the Andrew Cuomo's and the Democratic National Committee people here that whether we're talking about illegal immigration, crime in the streets, COVID-19 lockdowns, or confiscation of weapons owned legitimately by lawful Americans under the Second Amendment of the Constitution, that this is why I believe the Norpoth model will come into play. And in the last analysis, I'll repeat the prediction that I made on press television a few days ago. Look at the Norpoth model. Look at the Democratic National Convention drop of 4 points right after their convention was over with. Folks, the tide is turning. Pat Buchanan suggests this today at Lou Rockwell. Biden is ceding the law and order issue to Donald Trump. And in fact, that is going to prove for the Biden-Harris ticket to be absolutely politically fatal. And what we're going to see is that Magic Mike Dukakis is soon to be replaced by Magic Joe Biden as he makes a perceived Democratic lead in the polls disappear overnight.
Yeah. I mean, even Don Lemon on CNN
exactly
was when he gives his talking points to Chris Cuomo at the end of every show. He lectures Chris Cuomo, and he was warning about this, that
we got to stop these riots. This is going to help Trump. That was basically what he said.
Yeah, and of course, because it's if it can happen in Kenosha, it can happen anywhere. Kenosha is the most typical American city anywhere. It's not Charlotte. It's not Seattle. It's not. It is just.
I know it well. It was halfway between Chicago and Milwaukee when I was in seminary.
It's still there.
At the time, I had some relatives living in Kenosha, and mm-hmm. You're exactly right. If it can happen there, it can happen anywhere, folks. Take heed.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me. And people, you can always find Mark Dankoff on the Generations show, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock's Monday show, which you can find at Rents Radio Archives. I usually don't talk about the other network, but there are times when you're going to want to you can listen to it on archive at your leisure when you're not busy with the other great RBN programming. So Trad Cat Night, you can find all of these links on nationalbugle.com. and thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you, Chief. God bless you, and I'll probably see you this week.
Yep, and I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.